39 over here. Hashem Malach Tegela, alright? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is king. And when Hashem is king, let the whole land rejoice. Yismukuyim Rabim. Many islands are going to be very glad. And the idea is like this. Islands are always in a state of trepidation. The reason why is because they think they're going to flood. They think things are going to happen. They're worried about that. But at this time, the world is going to be firmly established. No longer are you going to have to worry about different floods happening or tsunamis or storms or anything like that. It's going to be perfect weather. However it's going to happen, where there's going to be perfect weather, it's going to be perfect weather above the entire world, and therefore nobody will have to worry. Even the islands that are so scared of hurricanes and typhoons and everything else, it doesn't have to worry. Anan Barapel Svirot, there are clouds and darkness that surround God. Tzedek HaMishpat Mechon Kiso, well, the foundation of everything that God does is Tzedek HaMishpat, righteousness and judgment. This again, obviously this whole tefillin is talking about Mashiach and what's going to be at that time. Ish Lamav Teleich, there's a fire that goes around God. It burns up all of his enemies that go all around. I mean, the lightning bolts light up the world, the land. The earth sees it and it trembles. It trembles at how powerful God is. The mountains melt like wax from a furnace of the entire world. And that's the fear that they had at that time. Right? Because our Kaddish Baruch Hu was so master. So it's funny, right? Because in the beginning, we're like, nobody's going to be afraid. Now we're like, everyone is afraid. But it's a different type of fear. It's a fear of awe that you cannot believe that a Kaddish Baruch Hu is coming by. You're no longer afraid that something bad is going to happen. But it's like, oh my gosh, a Kaddish Baruch Hu is coming. What's going to be? When the king comes into town, you're not afraid that he's going to kill you, but you're in awe of the fact that such a person is going to be in front of you, such a person is going to be around. That's the type of fear that we're talking about over here. This is the idea. This light of God is going to be a constant shine, something that's going to be there. Unlike today, where the truth, you can see the truth a little bit and then it's gone or whatever it is. I think the word of the year, if I remember correctly, means ignoring the truth in politics. I forgot what it is. It was just named today. The word of the year is like that.
That's used often.
That was the word. It was something politics. I forgot what it was. And it was especially, unfortunately, in our election. But it was just put on the USA Today thing. That was the word out there. So that was that. And that's the mountains of rulers of the nation. The heavens declares righteousness. And all the nations see the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because now it's going to be manifest.
Post-truth, is that what it is?
Okay, so that's what it refers to. So, when you don't worry about anything that's true, you're just doing politics as usual. And like whatever comes out, so whatever it is. Either way, Baruch Hu Kvodo, all of the nations out there are going to see the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of those who serve the idols are going to be embarrassed. Who pride themselves and praise themselves by being around these molten images. All the gods bow down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the idea of attesting how God is, his righteousness and all the good things that are out there and stuff like that. Some say that Elohim over here is not referring to the gods and stuff like that, but rather refers to great princes. All the princes of the earth, meaning the mighty people of the earth, are going to get up and they're going to bow down to God, realizing that he's in charge. Shamavat Tismach Tzion. Tzion is going to hear it. They're going to be happy. All the daughters of Yehuda are going to rejoice, because this is your judgment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything we need for you, you Hashem, will be most high above the entire earth. Monah Lefel Kol Elohim. You're exalted far above all the other, again, gods or princes, whichever one you want to go with. Those who love HaKadosh Baruch Hu hate the evil that goes around them. Shomer Nafshos Chasidav. He is the one who guards the souls of those who are devout. Miad Rishayim Yatzilayim. From the hands of the Rishayim, he has saved them or will save them, in the idea of here. And here's the main idea. The main idea behind this is to warn in our world, right, when it's going to be times of Mashiach, that's something totally different, but to warn those that are learning Torah that they have to hate evil. Not that they can accept evil and allow it to be, but despise it for what it is, which is just pure wickedness. Flattering the evildoers does not do us any favors. That gets into a lot of philosophical debates. What does that mean exactly? What is considered evil? And what is considered, you know, just something that people are finding hard to deal with? Is, and pardon me for saying it, but like, is wanting an avera evil? one thing that I've ever written in the Torah, evil. Like if we have a guy who is a well-known thief and gets out there and says, I'm so proud of my thievery. Is that evil? Is that something that we should hate? What if it's something a little more political, right? Where what if a person is gay and he wants to flaunt his gayness? Is that evil to us because it goes against the Torah?
But it doesn't say hate the person, hate the evil.
No, hate the evil, 100%. So are we supposed to say, I despise any act or anybody, I should say anybody. The act, I cannot allow for this to be in the world, although I don't mind the person doing it. Is that what we should do? Like if they come out with laws, do we have to get up against it? Or do we, I don't want to say flatter them, but allow it to be because, no. What can we do? Like how do you do it?
First of all, we live in a country that's not bound by the law of the Torah.
Understood. I'm just saying, how should we react to these types of things? If we're being told, right, the lovers of God should hate that evil, what does that mean exactly? That's what I mean. What if we're living in Eretz Yisrael? Is it the same thing there, or do we have to act differently there? I don't mean chas v'shalom to hurt people, right? I don't. That's not what I'm saying, or throw rocks or do anything like that. I'm not saying anything evil like that.
What would your reaction be any different when you... What are you saying that should be done?
I don't know. I don't have an answer to that question. I really don't know. I would have to go to somebody much greater than me to only make a decision on something like that. But that's what I'm asking.
But
is that the idea behind this?
Time where you have, what do you gain by hating, whatever that means?
Yeah, well, may Hashem see the world. I don't gain anything, personally.
Personally, I hate evil myself. I try to stay away from evil. But somebody's doing something, he's not hurting anybody else.
But that's still. I hear what you're saying. I can't argue the point.
You're right. Separate the act and the vehicle.
All right. So you love the vehicle, hate the act.
You can get along with the vehicle. You don't have.
If you're a, I mean, I'm just saying, if you're a judge, right, and a person comes up to you, I don't know how a judge would deal. Obviously, there are different laws, but what? How do you deal with that?
No, forget.
How do you deal with that? You want by law? Can we allow this?
If you're the rabbi of the store, you have a congregant who you know. Whatever they're doing is they're doing something wrong.
Are you loves a congregant?
Are you accepting them into the?
You accept them into community, but you tell them you cannot do that act.
Well, what they do? You can't stop
every person in Shul and be like, eat kosher.
No, the do person who's yeah. I mean, technically,
but, come on, like,
that's correct.
Your Shul will have nobody there. I mean, you can't.
Or a lot of good people. So filled with awesome people, you're gonna be like, this is awesome. Well, everybody's doing the right thing.
No, this doesn't work. Like somebody
yeah,
wants,
yeah. No, you're right. I can't argue the point. You're right. How do you do it?
There's guys who drive to my Shul on Shabbos. Somebody was telling me, like, how do you guys allow this? I'm like, what are we supposed to do? Some don't come to Shul on Shabbos? Like,
there's a bigger picture.
Yeah, I hear you. I just but how long?
They come every week. I
hear you. No, I hear you. What do you do? What do you do? What do you? How do you? How are you so neira? Right? How are you so neira? Is it if it turns somebody? All right, we're dealing with d'oraisas. You have to give musr even if it'll turn the guy off. That's the halacha.
Is that even the halacha when? No, hold on.
Yes, I know, because we don't do it that way, and I don't know how we do it with my.
And it don't turn
halacha,
then it's almost.
No, it doesn't matter if it's d'oraisa. It's different. Now, do we actually do that? That's the question. I've never seen anybody do it. I've never seen anybody go up to people. Maybe because. Do you have a guy who's going to Shul constantly? You would assume he knows that.
He knows that he's not supposed to, but he's also. That the. You just think about. Forget halacha for a second. Just human psychology.
No,
if you're more accepting of everybody, and you, they'll be more willing to take on others.
The whole right. But has that been the case by these types of people? I'm just asking. Are they like,
let's
is that
they know.
The case?
But what's going to be the case if they don't do it now? No more running show. No more doing.
I don't know. You're right. Like, what do you do when you know you're sacrificing all to the other?
Having that sort of outlook and that sort of.
But what's the feel? I hear what you're saying. And
that attitude of being accepting that always works more in terms of keeping people in the fold than
or rejection. It also might help bring others off.
No. So look at the next pasuk. Simchus Tzadi came by Hashem.
Which one?
Sorry. It ends off. So you highlight the good. You don't highlight the bad.
Yeah.
You tolerate the bad, and you highlight the good.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the way that we're living our lives now, because you don't see
you
people
don't make
doing it in any other way.
Community dinners highlighting the guy who steals.
But
the guys who
100 years ago, that is what they did. 100 years ago, you know, the kid, a kid became enlightened, the people sat shiva. The parents sat shiva for a kid that, you know, went to enlightenment and became a reformed Jew and whatever. There was no acceptance. They sat shiva, period. So that's the world 100 years
there
ago.
There are also levels of acceptance.
Yeah, 100%. I also be then you get into what you do.
This could be a mahalas in halacha. And I'm not saying one.
Chinuch also, by the way. What? You say chinuch gets into this as well. Yeah,
yeah right. But also, I mean, look, for example, in between like Sephardic communities and Ashkenazi communities, Sephardic communities, you have people in Shul who are like, they're not Shomer Shabbat, but they go to Shul every
day.
They do a lot of stuff.
A certain amount of
you'll see that a lot less. Yeah. And I'm not saying, but I'm wondering, does this have anything to do with it, meaning that if you're not on the right track, you're thrown out?
Actually, your attitude is
for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's also because of the seriousness of those who do go to Shul. The seriousness of the Sephardim who are in it and going to Shul is more serious than the Ashkenazi.
I'm not referring to the idea of going to Shul, but the level of meaning, there are people who are very traditional that they realize, they know, okay, I'm supposed to keep Shabbos, I'm not on that level, but all the stuff that I do, Hashem cares about that, so I'm going to do at least what I can do. It's not like it's all or nothing.
No, you're 100% right. This is a challenge. I don't know what the challenge would the answer to this challenge is, but it is a challenge.
I think that might be the attitude. There's one or two guys who drive my show out of Shabbos. I mean, that they realize they're not supposed to drive the show, but they're supporting the people to
doing it. It's very hard. Halakhically speaking, are you allowed to invite somebody over you know who's going to drive? The answer is no. Can you get around it? When I first got up in a big Baal Tshuva, one of these places, they invited him to speak, and he got up and he said, it is absolutely usher to have anyone at your houses on Shabbos and you know they're going to drive. It was an uproar, because they all do that. Every single one. It was the Maimonides programs and all the whatever it is. Like, you want to sit down.
Good Machner about the fear, but he holds that if some of you know is
no, no, no. He's more Makel now.
Really?
He was 10 years ago, yes. But since the Kolel, Chicago Community Kolel, the Hilchos Erev, and Rabbi Glenner and Rabbi Francis, when they came out with their Pesach in the Erev in Chicago. So he's calmed down when it comes to Erev.
Some people invite kids, people with small children, because they have to go to school.
That is correct. There are still people that hold that way, and Rabbi Hirsch will still tell it to people, because that is, for them. But he's not Makbid Gomer on it. He is definitely not Makbid Gomer on it. Not anymore, not the way that he was. But it's scary. This is a scary thing. Now, for the rule of Tzadik Lishrei Leisim Kol, there is a light that is sown for the tzedikim, and to those who are yasher leiv, there is simcha completely. Now, the reason why, it's a seed, right? Just like a seed grows and spreads, etc. So the light of Shem, Hashem should grow, etc. And just like the seed is hidden in the ground and then it starts sprouting forth. So to the ora ganus, the light that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in the first day of creation, will start sprouting again. If you plant a seed, it'll come up with many seeds in the new plant. So to one mitzvah can lead to many mitzvahs up in the sky. The difference between a tzedek and a Yasher is like this. A guy who serves God for the sake of reward can be called a tzaddik. Somebody who does something not for the sake of receiving reward, he just does the mitzvah, L'shem Shemayim, is called somebody who is Yasher. That's one explanation for it over here. Other Marishim, we all know, use that light. That's another issue altogether. And then we go into, he says over here, some say this refers to the light of love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avas Hashem. And that's the Or Zeruah LaTzaddik. It's within every person, and that evil is not there whatsoever. And that's the idea behind it. Now, from here we see a possible when you don't know about this. Shalos Tshuvos Mina Shamayim, which is a sefer written by different people, the questions that they would ask when they went to sleep at night, they would write something down and they would get an answer from Shamayim, either in their dreams or by a little petek that they found under their pillow in the morning, right? From the tooth fairy, probably. Right?
Sure. So, I thought the petek would have left, and the dream would give them the answer.
Yeah, I always thought that also, but there was a petek that they read afterward. It does say that in quite a few of them. Because it was a bunch of different people to put it together. And one of the questions they said was, what is the name Akiva? How do you spell the name Akiva? Throughout Bavli, you see Akiva's name spelled with an aleph at the end. Throughout Yerushalmi, Akiva's name is with a hey at the end. So which is the proper spelling? And they gave him this pasuk, or is a rule at that equally, Yishrei Leisimcha, in which the Sof Beit Tevis is Rebbe Akiva with a hey. And that is the way you spell it. Now, halachically, in a get is the only time that it's really going to matter. That's the only time that it really comes into play. I don't remember. I'd have to. It was one of the Balei Tosfos. You know, one of the. Like,
is it
Rabbi Yosef Garmiza? Look, yeah. No, this is this is brought in a little sefer that was compiled called Shilas Tshuvas Mishamayim. I have it in my house, but that's about it. Halakhically, you have a guy named Akiva who spells his name with an aleph, right? If that guy is a get, what do they do? I believe they put both names in. It's Akiva, who's also known as Akiva, with an aleph and with a hey, because of the suffix on how to read it all together. It's a little bit of a kasha if that matters, if he had it wrong his whole life. If you write the name wrong and everybody else knows it's a different way, but you spelled it this way, it's like, I don't even say this, Anthony Hardaway, right? Which was clearly Anthony that got messed up somewhere. So is that like, do you write down Anthony versus Anthony, right? Or you just assume that that's, you know, whatever it is. So what do you do? What do you do with that? Right, Penny. Dimitri likes Penny. So what do you do with that? Simchut Tzedikim Hashem, rejoice all Tzedikim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hodu L'Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and thank His holy name. And that's what you're referring to. Concentrate on the Tzedikim. Work on the Tzedikim. And that's the idea behind it. No. Most likely it's connected to the word Yaakov, because Yaakov and Akiva are just so similar. They're off by one letter, the aleph or the hey, whatever. Right? Most likely it's like that. But it's possible that it's an Aramaic name, and it just, we lost the translation to it. I don't believe it means anything.
Because the name Ezra, for example, is spelled with an aleph.
Right.
Comes from the Hebrew word Ezra.
Hey. Yeah. Why is Ezra Nehemiah? Why is Ezra known as Ezra, Ayin, Zayin, Reish, Aleph in the Navi? Without a question.
Right, no, right.
Right?
He's spelled with an aleph, but the word
is Ezra. Right, the Ezra, I would assume it's also Aramaic, right? Because Ezra in Aramaic is help. So I would assume that that's the reason why. You'd assume it's like that, which is why it's hard to say that you don't have, like, you know, why we don't have English names. It makes sense that we'd have English names. It's one thing if it's like David / David, right? So then you know, okay, you have a name, whatever it is. But why not give an English name only? Right, to a person.
No.
Alexander is clearly a Hebrew name now, right? We all use them.
There are Arabic names and Yiddish names.
Yeah, exactly. There's no question. Razel is a normal name, right? That's Shoshana in Yiddish. Yeah, there's no question. So why we don't do that is a little strange. Rechaim Kanievsky has that Shemos Haaretz, right? He has a whole sefer, what names to use, what names not to use. He doesn't like the name Shira. Feels that the name Shira is not a real name. It's a word that describes whatever it is. But tons of people use it. But he tells people
with modern Hebrew names.
He tells people to change them.
I've seen stories.
Yeah. He tells people who are named Shira to name themselves Sarah. She said, just change your name. Take off the Yud. You're fine. Right? That's what he tells them. It's crazy. It's mamish crazy. But like, for whatever reason, what Chaim Kanievsky feels like, I can't understand it. I don't know. But like, he names our names.
You'll see a lot of people will try to, like, you know, in Tanakh, they would make up names based on.
Right. So they do things like that as well.
So somebody I know did that. And he names his daughter Celia, which he had, his intention was his daughter was born with a son, and he felt like the shadow of God, meaning Hashem will watch over her.
Okay.
He went to Rav Mordechai Eliyahu when she was like 4 years old, and he told her he had to change her name. So it sounds like it's the negative of like the shadow of God, as like being a shadow, meaning God's not paying attention.
Oh, that's interesting. The shade of
and
the
he said, what should I change it? He said, one of the imams. He said, which one? He said, let her pick. She was four. So they called her, like, which one? They gave her the four names. And she's like, I like Leah. And she said, he's like, okay, so now I
know. That's great. So yeah, Laman Yud Hey is not so off from Leah either. So that's,
yeah,
not,
yeah,
that's so far off from them. That's interesting. That's, listen, they do it. They definitely do it. They change names. They've done it before. But why? I wish I knew. I really have no idea. And that's something I don't understand. All right. Tzadi Ches over here. Mizmor Shir LaHashem Shir Chadash. We sing to our Kadosh Baruch Hu Shir Chadash. Once again, by the way, we did Shir LaHashem Shir Chadash. Now Mizmor Shir LaHashem Shir Chadash. Kinip Lo Sasa. Because wonders are being done. Hoshea Lo Yimin Ezra Kadosho. His right hand and his holy arm, right, will do salvation. They're the ones who are going to help him. This, without a question. Again, once again, we're dealing with the Moshe Mashiach. This is a brand new song that's being sung, even more so. It's interesting over here. The Me'amoi says that David HaMelech composed this song around this time, which we know, up until now, we've been saying that these 11 Tehillim were put together by Moshe, you know, compiled by Moshe. But once again, it could be that the exact wording was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, or the exact wording was written by David HaMelech based on the previous poems of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's definitely a possibility. And the idea over here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has really helped us. We have to look at it through all gullahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has really helped us do everything that we need to do. Hodi Hashem Yeshua, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made known his salvation. So, by the eyes of all the nations, he has revealed his tzidkus, his absolute righteousness, and that's that. There's no question that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done everything he can in order to help us wherever we have gone with everything there. And now the idea of the revealing over here, Hodiah Hashem Yeshuaso, Gila Tzidkasu, he allows it to be seen. Because up until now we've had sins, so there has been this like kisui, so to speak, this covering up of all the sins of Klal Yisrael. The Gila that we have is more important in a way. And now all of a sudden we're able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu this time as a Mashiach. That's the idea behind it. Some say that Moshe Rabbeinu did write this Tehillim about Geulas Mitzrayim, and all of it refers to what happened when they were leaving Mitzrayim. Do you remember, we learned this before, when the cows brought back the Aron Kodesh from the Plishtim, from the land of the Plishtim, they brought it back and they brought it to Kiryas Yearim, Beit Shemesh at first, and then eventually they brought it to Kiryas Yearim. Cows came, you don't remember, the Plishtim put it on two new cows, the mother cows that didn't have, with the golden hemorrhoids and the golden rats, and they put it on the back of the, wherever they brought it in there.
Every time I see that.
I'll be honest with you, Baruch Hashem, I don't know what hemorrhoids look like. For some reason, I haven't Googled it yet. I haven't Googled it, but thank God I don't know what it looks like. Whatever it is, and I'll let somebody else, you know, I don't even know what kind of a doctor
maybe
does
it was
that.
A gold,
that doctor
was
like
golden intestines.
Regardless, the oxen, when they said they came, it said Vayasharna. It seems like they, like, you know, like Yashar Yamina, right? They went straight. Vayasharna is learned by the Targum that they sang. They sang this Mizmor. This was the Mizmor that they sang when they came in. I thought it was Vayasharna. That might be true. I don't remember. You can look it up. Here, it's right here. It says, oh, I don't have it. I thought it was going to be quoted over here. Where is it? We're talking by Shmuel HaNavi. It would be Shmuel. Park Bays toward the beginning. No, this is too much. David. I don't know if I'm going to be able to find it right now. Ishbosheth. Is it toward the end? Oh, I'm sorry. No. It would be much earlier because of Eli, right? That's when it was taken by Eli. So, yeah, we got Eli right over here, the prophetic. Here's the news. Ark. Yeah, here we go. It's right over here. It's returned, and it says, yeah, Agala Kadasha. It says, Lakashim Sona Sasmazan. Shasim Zubahalak. It says, Beit Shemesh. Mikro Yatwan Hashim Cain. Vayisharna.
So that sounds like it's Yashar. Because
yeah, that's what I said. Refers to Shad. It's Yashar. Right, it would be Yashar. That's right. The posh of Shad. But it's, I guess the measure that says it is Yasharna is that it refers to singing, Ashira. And that's the reference over here. Oh, he needed that. All right, so that's that. Now here we go. Zohar Chasav Amenazo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has remembered his loving kindness, his chasid, and his amuna lebeis Yisrael for all things. A roll call off the arts of Yeshua Salokenu. All the ends of the world are going to see the Yeshua of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's going to be in this world and what's going to be in the land. All the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. And it's going to be the Skos Avos. That's the idea behind it. There's going to be a Kiddush Hashem that happens over here. Right, that everybody will get what they need. A real Hashem Kol Aretz. That everyone on the earth should scream to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pitzchu v'raninu v'zameru. Open up their mouths, right? And sing and praise, right? In front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Singing with happiness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zamal Hashem Chinor. Sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the harp, the chinor of Kol Zimra. Both with harps and also melodious voices. Bachatzos is a kol shofar with trumpets as well as the shofar. A real with Me'am Elach Hashem. Scream out loud and shout in front of the King HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amazing, right? And so many things about yelling and being so happy, etc. Here's the mashal over here. The chatzos and the kol shofar. A king was wandered lost in the forest. He was unable to find his way. He met a man who showed him the right path to follow. Out of gratitude for this kindness, the king welcomed the man into the palace, dressed him up in royal garments, right, in place of the plain clothes he normally wore. And eventually, this man became one of the king's favorites. One day, the man committed a bad thing in front of the king. Did something bad, and the king had to condemn him to death. Before the decree was carried out, the man asked the king if he could wear his original clothes. As soon as he put on those original clothes, the king had mercy on him. He realized that this is the guy that had done something good for him. He was filled with compassion, and he pardoned him completely. So Pshat is on Rosh Hashanah, we stand before the, you know, the Kisei Kavos, and we sound the horn, we bring out the shofar, we start blowing in the shofar. Immediately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was reminded of Har Sinai. That reminds us, it reminds him of what happens in Har Sinai, whatever that means, right? And that's when we accepted the Torah. There was no blowing in the shofar of the Akedah. Remember, the horn of the Akedah was used by Har Sinai. Right? That's what it ends up saying. So that was that. The Kaz Wright wrote that in a dream, he understood the following interpretation of this pasuk. He heard in a dream the following. It means, when the tekiah blast is not sounded in the beginning of the year, it sounded at the end of the year. Right? For one of the reasons we sound the horn is that Satan should be messed up. But this hasn't happened. So, shout before the king, the Lord. Before sounding the horn, the king, the Lord, at the end of the year, there should be a sounding of evil event. That if we don't do it properly then unfortunately bad things will happen to us as the year is going through. That's how we understood it to go through. Let the sea roar, you know, that is its screaming, so to speak, and everything in it. Table of Yosheva, the world and all those who dwell in it. We talked the Malo'o, what happens in the sea, the whales, the dolphins, singing all of the different songs that they have in the sea. The rivers clap their hands, together with the mountains they sing together. I've never actually seen a river clap its hands. I would assume it means the waves up against the banks, right? Something like that. And that's what it refers to, clapping his hands. Before Hashem, because he comes, in order to judge the land, he judges the land in righteousness, and the people out of, I guess you could say, because they have been yosher, and that's that. That's what we refer to over here. With equity, is that what it refers to? I guess not. The line that we gave before is the first time, two prakim ago, it said, Kiva lishpot aretz. Yishpot a table b'tzedek, v'amim v'emunah so, over here it's Meisharim. We said last time, the difference between emunah so and Meisharim is that when we deal with emunah, that we believe what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do, we have belief, we know there's going to be, it's going to take a while for Mashiach to come, and it's Kiva. And it'll be first, and then Mashiach will come. Here, when we're Yasher, well, that's the level of Achishena. God will hurry Mashiach's coming. Eliyahu HaNavi will not come first. And it'll be Kiva, just one person coming. And that's the reference over here, the Kiva. Heard that from our Shiva years ago. All right, Sadi Tat.
Kiva
is just Mashiach. But Kiva is Eliyahu Mashiach. So if it's Yasher, then only Mashiach comes. If it's Emunah, we just wait for the end time, right? The actual case Mashiach, then Eliyahu and Eli comes first, and then Mashiach comes. That's why it's Kiva. Okay. Hashem Malach Nirgazu Amin Yoshev Kruvim Tanu Ta'aretz. When Hashem is king, right, then all the people will tremble. He sits upon the Kruvim as the earth quakes. Okay? So this is going to be a revelation of Hashem's kingdom on earth. Really, it's the last Tehillim that we refer to. The Mishmar Lasoda is a little bit different, but it's the last Tehillim that we really deal with over here. Now, I'm sorry, the people are no longer going to have that security. Up until now, they've been like, okay, everything's going to work out okay, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help us and whatever it is, right? And we'll do whatever we need to do. Now they're actually scared, or reverse to. Now, the Kruvim is an interesting line over here. Kruvim are obviously the two Malachim that we put on top of the Aron Kodesh, right? They're the ones that are painted, that are golden Kruvim on top. And Shlomo Melech ended up making two other Kruvim that stood in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Those were two things that we had over there. But the Kruvim were also a dangerous thing. Outside of Gan Eden, there were Kruvim, right, that stood on the outside that have a lot of this flaming sword that goes around. And what they did was they protected the way to the Eitz HaChaim to make sure that nobody would get back to the Eitz HaChaim. So in essence, the Kruvim are the most dangerous of all the animals, of all the Malachim. So what does that mean exactly? So Yoshua Kruvim means exactly that. Either there are people that are going to meet the Kruvim and they're going to see them as ultimate, like, wow, the biggest Kedusha, such Kruvim, such Kedusha, they're going to be enthralled by it and they're going to just do good. Other people, the Kruvim, unfortunately, are going to have to destroy. That's the job of the Kruvim, to either impress, and if you're not impressed, or if that doesn't happen, then unfortunately they're destroying angels. Hashem B'tzion Gadol.
I have a much more difficult question than the good Kruvim and the...
Why, what do you mean?
No, you're saying they protect a lot of her. And they say, that's no way to...
Oh, that whole
that's
thing.
That's all given,
yeah,
but...
Yeah. Kruvim, yeah, sure. You know, there is a famous, there's a line in the Medrash, Rabbah, that says, La Hachar V'Nisatachas, that Misatachas is referring to the Kruvim. The Kruvim can take on any form they want. They're the ones that change themselves and turn themselves into whatever form. They're shapeshifters. That's what it says about that. It's, so the Kruvim, and there's a lot of Cherev, the flame of sword, but they are Misapetes, creatures that are able to change their things. Some unbelievable. It's Yalkut Teiman, if I remember, was brought, that ended up bringing that down. Yeah, that's obviously a pasuk that's not for not for the faint at heart, let's call it that way. Hashem Betzion Gadol. Hashem is great in Zion. At this point, that's where everybody in Zion is like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ramu HaKol Amin, highest among all the nations. They're going to thank you and praise your name that is great and awesome. Kadosh Hu. And he is absolutely Kadosh over here. When is the Shekhinah great? When he rules on his own and he brings his Shekhinah back to Tzion. That's the idea. Now, that's the idea over here. If you look at the last passage, it said Gadol and Rum. What's the difference between Gadol and Rum? So he says over here, Rum means God is exalted on high, but the root does not extend below. Gadol means something whose foundation is on earth and it grows and grows. Gadol means to grow, while Rum means it's above us. It's a bit high. So Hashem B'tzion Gadol, we see him growing. Rum Huakol Amin, the people have not seen him grow. They only see him all the way up there as if he's inaccessible. That's the way the nations look at him. In such a way, that's one way of understanding it. But Oz Melech Mishpat Ahev, the king who is strong loves judgment. Atokonat Meshar, you have established Yashar things. Mishpat Utstaka Yaakov Atosisa, the Mishpat Utstaka among Yaakov. You are able to do. That's what it is. He is a strong and determined king in how he needs to go through. Once again, you have a little bit of a muscle over here, a powerful monarch. Inaugurated his reign. He started his reign by embarking on a tour through all the provinces of his kingdom. When the people heard of it, they were overcome by dread. Then a man arrived from a great city. He said to them, what are you afraid for? Right? The king already visited our city and established good order. He did everything he was supposed to do. His sole purpose and ambition is to have order and peace in the land. He's not here to destroy or to take people down. The nimshal is when the Lord reigns, when he becomes king, Oz Melech, right? You sit there and all of a sudden people are going to tremble. They're going to say, oh no, what's going to be? They're worried about what's going to happen at that time. But no, you don't understand. He loves judgment. He wants things to work out well. He's not trying to destroy anyone. He wants things to work out in the best way possible. That's the idea of Mishpat Ahav. That's what he loves more than anything else. Plus, okay. Romimu Hashem Elokeinu. Exalt Hashem our God. Vishtachavu L'Adom Raglav. Bow down at his footstool. Kadosh Hu. He is holy. And the footstool obviously refers to on earth itself. Bow down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash, which is known as his footstool, so to speak, as if he's sitting right around there in the holiness of the temple. Moshe Aaron b'Kohanav, u'Shmuel b'Korishmo. Moshe Aaron among his priests, Shmuel among those who call upon his name. Korim El Hashem, they call to Hashem b'Hu Yaneim, and he answers them. All three of these, Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel and Abi, called out at certain times, and they were answered. This is not to the exclusion of all others, so for example, Shmuel and Avi called out Mitzvah, right? And he was answered. Mitzvah is when they were about to fight a war and asking for the king. Moshe, we know many, many times that he called out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aaron, bit of a kasha, but we'll say like by Korach, for example, he was the one that brought the Ketores in the middle and stopped the plague. There have been other times where I'm sure Aaron was involved in the tefillah, maybe by the miracle, I just don't remember offhand, but Aaron was involved in getting the plague. But the question is, why these three? So it seems that these three were extremely holy, right? In a certain way, they were the greatest of all time. We know that Moshe was the greatest Navi of all time. We know that Aaron is known as the Oiv Shalom, Rodev Shalom. Shmuel and Navi had a certain power to them, in which Nevor was scarce before Shmuel and Navi was born. And all of a sudden, Shmuel and Navi came and everything changed. He was the Navi that was so great that he was able to do things that other Navi weren't able to do, and apparently the Pasuk takes him for it. He was a judge who went to the world instead of everything else.
Actual vision that he saw, but doesn't that important part about it? Because still vision is being like, at least in the implication is that it's kind of like greater than the implication.
I hear you. Maybe the Nevuah of Yechezkel was greater than the Nevuah of Shmuel and Avi. But Shmuel and Avi's greatness was in that fact that everyone loved him. He was well known throughout the people. He made two kings, Shaul HaMelech and then David HaMelech, right? There was some greatness beyond Shmuel. Let's call it that way. That he was so great that way. But here, an unbelievable medrash. The Mamluk brings this down over here. 40 years before Shmuel was born, a bas kol came out to announce that a tzaddik named Shmuel was going to be born. All the women who gave birth for the next 40 years named their kids Shmuel. I don't know how that happened, because we know that Elkanah had two wives, Penina, right? Did Penina have 10 Shmuels? Like Shmuel the first, Shmuel the second?
No.
Like, is that what happened over there?
I mean, every Lubavitcher has Menachem Mendel.
There's one. There's just one over there.
Every Muslim family has a Muhammad.
A Muhammad, yeah, very good.
The number one name in many, many countries, and I'm Muslim.
Is it really?
I think it might be the number one name in Israel.
That's funny. But that's that. So many of them. And when Shmuel Hanavi was born, obviously he was the one that did that. The Basco was prophesying, but they didn't know that. All the other Shmuels who had been named that way because the mothers really wanted them to be, they became the B'nai Hanavi. They were the ones who learned under Shmuel Hanavi, even though they were all older than him, in order to become greater Nevi'im and greater people. They were all like that. It's so to speak, he answered them. All the Nevuos came true, or all the ideas of what these women wanted all came true. Now there is an interesting line over here where the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, Moshe Rav Mechon Abu Shmuel Bakori Shemo, you see that they're compared to one another, they're equal to one another, and then it seems to say that there's Yiftach, Gilad, and Shimshon that are also compared to these three. So the line of the Gemara is Shlosha Kali Olam Kishlosha Chomrei Olam, the three light people in the world, like the three heavy people in the world, and they seem to learn it out from over here. Moshe Rav Mechon Abu Shmuel Bakori Shemo. Either way, regardless, that idea is that somehow every generation has a leader that's good for them. That not always are we going to have a generation that deserves to have a Shmuel Hanavi. Sometimes you need to have a Yiftach. There's nothing wrong with Yiftach, but he wasn't as great as Shmuel Hanavi in that way, however that means. And in that sense, we have to look at it that way. It's funny how we have the concept of Yiridus Adoros. We talk about it all the time. But Shmuel Hanavi was so much greater than all of the Nevi'im that preceded him up until Moshe and Aaron. Maybe not Yoshua, maybe not Ismail ben Kenaz, but it's an interesting line how great Shmuel Hanavi was. Anyway, Pasuk Zayin, Ba'amud Anon Yidaber Aleihem. In a pillar of cloud, God spoke to them. Shamru Edosav, they kept his Edus, you know, those laws. Mechok Nosan Lamo, and he gave them a chok, a statute, something that would be a law for them to know. A chok is sort of like, it's a royal edict. It's something that can't be understood as is. They kept all of his laws when he spoke to them. Hashem Elokeinu Atzal Nizgam, Hashem, our God, you answered them. El Nasiya Yisrohem, you were a forgiving God to them, and no Kemal Lusam, you avenged all of their bad deeds, all of the bad things that had happened in their lifetimes, you took care of it. I think that means that there were people that were punished during their lifetimes while they were alive. By Shmuel, I would assume that refers to Shaul HaMelech, although Shmuel and Avi died before Aaron ever got it. Well, maybe Eli. Eli Chofni and Pinchas might be a good call. Eli Chofni and Pinchas had done something wrong. Eli did not give Musar properly. Chofni and Pinchas, if the Pasuk is taken literally, they were together with women, right, who were bringing their korbanos. If you take it figuratively, like the Gemara Shabbos Nunheim Abayz does, then it means they delayed their korbanos and made them stay overnight in Yerushalayim, which was not the right thing to do. One shot in the Gemara is that Chofni was good, but Pinchas was bad, right? That's another way of looking at it. Regardless, that you have. Moshe and Aaron, we know what happened during their lifetimes, how many people died, right? Korach and his band, right? The Meraglim, right? The 600,000 people in Klal Yisrael died during the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, for their many sins, Moshe and Aaron. So we see that nikkama that's happening there. Robo Moshe Hashem Elokeinu Mishnach with Arkito.
Was Eli a direct descendant from Pinchas?
I think he's from Itamar. I don't remember. I don't remember if Pinchas was from Eli was from Itamar.
Is it here? Aren't they have family trees?
Yeah, it would be hard to find it for a young one, though. It's in there. No,
like the art school.
No, in the back?
Yeah.
I think it has to check. But I don't remember. It's either he was Itamar and then they went to Elazar, or he was Elazar and then they went to Itamar.
Well, Elazar was the first one, after all.
No, yeah, but he was one of the families, and whatever family Eli was, they said, all right, we're now going to the other one. Just don't know which one it was.
But it doesn't go any further.
It's one of the two. Whatever family it was, the other family took over. It makes sense that it was Elazar. His husband Elazar and Aaron took over, so you think it would be Elazar's family. I don't remember, though, unfortunately. All right. Either way, Romu Hashem Elokeinu, exalt HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaGad Yishach V'Lakadosho, and bow down, right, by the mountain of His holiness, HaKadosh Hashem Elokeinu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absolutely holy, with everything that He possibly needs. Okay. Now we have Mizmor Kuf. Now you said, Binyamin, I just want to make sure you sing this on Friday night. This is right before Mizmor Dov. Right? You just say it. It's interesting. Mizmor Lasota, this is the last of the Talmuds of Moshe Rabbeinu, of the 11 Talmuds that were written by Moshe Rabbeinu. This one is an interesting one, a very interesting one. Mizmor Lasota. A mizmor to be sung when bringing the Korban Todah. Hariel Hashem Kolaris, that the whole land should sing and shout to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and say out loud to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, as if to say, give a thanksgiving toward him. Now, there are three things that the nations have to do in the days of Mashiach. Number one, to accept the kingship of Mashiach. Number two, they are to serve Mashiach itself. Number three, come to the base of Mikdash and bow down before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those are the three things they have to do. And it's all learned out from this pasuk, Hariel Hashem Kolaris. So it says, Ivdu Atz Hashem B'Simcha. Serve God out of Simcha. Bol upon Abir Nana. Go in front of him with a joyful song. It's hard to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of sadness. That kind of defeats the purpose of what you want to do in this world. Medrash says in the name of Rebbe, when you stand in Davin, right, your heart should be glad, right? If you daven and you're doing it because you have to and you're sad about it and you're just like, listen, I'm doing it because I have to but I don't really want to do it, you lose out on the whole spectrum of what daven is all about.
That's not necessarily sadness. It's not simple.
Correct.
I mean, sadness might be good kind of daven.
You're right. I don't mean that you're depressed. I mean that you're just not happy to daven.
You're supposed
that
to, be you're supposed to serve him out of fear, too.
Not your davening. Yivdu Atz Hashem b'simcha, the gilu birada is the wording. When you rejoice, have a little bit of trembling. So it should be yira, but the yira has to be superseded by the ava, the simcha that a person has. So you're right, but there has to be more simcha than yira in your davening. Now, I don't want to say that is a for sure, because there are times when your davening has to be done with yira, like fast days or whatever it is. There has to be a certain amount of yira. But in the most, it's, this is where we see it. Even with Hashem B'Simcha is where we learn that you have to daven out of Simcha itself.
That's why sometimes we'll see people davening and they like so what is cloud and they don't
Yeah. But that's the disturbing of other people. I mean, if you're going to clap, daven by yourself. I mean, that's my opinion. I know that not everybody agrees with me on this one. But like,
I agree with you.
I'm not into clapping. On the other hand, right, I don't, if these guys really do have the concentration that they say they do, awesome. I wish I had that kavanah. It's very hard for me to have kavanah.
Everybody else is kavanah.
I totally agree with you. But if they do have the kavanah that they claim they do, they don't notice. It's like an automatic reaction. Listen, halavai. I really have no ability to even understand what it means to have the pure simcha while davening. I don't have it. And so David Melech, according to the Medrash, was so overcome with simcha when he would daven, his lips would move on their own in joyful song, and he couldn't stop singing. But he kept going.
You have simcha when you do it 3 times every single day.
Early in the morning. Early in the morning. It's the first thing you do, the last thing you do before you go to sleep. You know that, like, when you're doing it right in the middle of the day where you're working and working and working, all of a sudden you're like, oh, mimcha.
But it's like, that's also, I mean, it gets too much part of a routine. If it's something that you did once a month, then you'd be like, oh, okay, it's time for that.
Yeah, it's a very, very hard. This is an avoda. That's why they call it an avoda. It's a work. This is not an easy thing to be able to do. But even though it's simple, you should know, by the way, there is that wacha. And it used to be in certain siddurim. I don't know why I can't find it anymore. It's one of the siddurim have it. Art schools doesn't have it. Mizmor Lasota should be said while singing. You should sing Mizmor Lasota. Now, I personally do not know. I know but there are no real songs to Mizmor Lasota that go all the way through.
Say the whole chant of
Mizmor Lasota. Is there a chant? Is there another chant for Mizmor Lasota? Oh, really? So maybe that's it. Maybe that's what you should do. I don't know it. Is it like a joyous tune or it's like a somber tune?
Neither. It's not somber. It's more joyous. Yeah, I'd say it's more
joyous. So it's going to be interesting. That is the halakha. The halakha is to sing Mizmor Lasota when you're saying it. Now, the funny thing is, I can't find it. I found that in the Siddur. Like, on top of the Siddur, by Mizmor Lasota, it said, sing this with joy. To actually sing it with joy. And now I can't find it anymore. I'm not in the Siddur Vilna, and I just haven't looked at it. Du ki Hashem ulakim. No, Hashem is God. He made us, and we are His. Amo v'tzomer. sorry, so we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. They are taken care of. Now, if you notice, below anachnu, there are two ways of reading it. There's below, as if we are not ours, or below anachnu, we are all his. We are not ours is obviously a line of anivus. We didn't make ourselves. Yeah, it is. It's a kri of low with an aleph. It's a fib of low with an above. It doesn't really matter. Is there a way, tell me, is there a difference between low with above and low with an aleph? Do you read it?
They're both
It sounds the same, right? Unless there's some at some time where an aleph was different. I don't know how this is possible. I don't know how to be able to...
The full on with above, and then the same as the full on with above.
It's very hard to say, so I don't know what this is. But either regardless, it's supposed to be the line is that it's not Kolki boats in the LDSS as well as that. Low enough, that it's not us. That's the idea of where this anibus comes from over there. That we should be nothing in our own eyes, you know, as if we're epis, right? Nothingness, right? Or below enough, and to him, we owe everything. Now, obviously, it's a different way over there. It's interesting. In the concordance, right, the one that goes through all the psukim, there are 15 psukim where it says the word lo as in lamed aleph, and we read it as lo as in lamed vav.
Like
each one is different. There must be an interpretation by each one. Since there's 15 of them, couldn't name you all that, but probably all over the place, we're just not noticing it. We come into his gates with thanks. We have praises when we go into his courtyards. We thank him, and we bless his name. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good forever. No, I'm sorry, did I say that right? Kitov Hashem, right? Hashem is good. Lo olam chasdo, his chesed lasts forever. Da'ador v'ador munaso, and his faithfulness, the amount of faith that we can have in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, is for all generations. Here's an interesting chazal. All tefillos are going to be abolished in the future, but not Mizmor Lasoda. All korbanos are going to be abolished in the future, but not the korban toda. What that means is korban toda. Korban toda. And what that means is, I'm sorry, thanks. Anyway, what they mean to say is that there's going to be so much abundance of everything that we need in the world, it's not going to be necessary to pray for your material needs. You won't have to ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu for it. It'll automatically be there.
Anyway.
No sin, so it won't be there. But the Korban Toda, the Mizmor Lasoda, I don't know if there actually will be Korban, if there actually will be Tefillah, but the point is the Iker in those days will be revolved around Mizmor Lasoda, revolved around bringing Korban Toda, and that's that. No need for a Chatzos or an Ashram or anything like that when it comes to stuff like that. And that's what it means, that his chesed lasts forever and ever, right? It's not only the miracles that our Kadosh Baruch Hu does for us, it's every second of life, every bit of life that we get is part of that. And that we have true belief in our Kadosh Baruch Hu in all generations, in everything that happens over here. That's the concept behind it. Okay, that's that. I don't think we have to do that over there. And that brings out to... Yeah, I'll go on this, but I don't think it's that important when it comes to that. Alright, that brings to Kuf Aleph. Kuf Aleph, unfortunately, I didn't do, because I didn't think we'd get this far, but I think we'll have time to be able to finish it. It's only 8 psukim. Let's see what we got over here. With David Mizmor, David Amalek now sings a song. Remember, Binyamin, you had that issue before that it said, Kalu Tefillos David Ben Yishai? We saw this. It's happened a couple throughout them earlier as well. It does still say David. So even though not all of them are known as that, and I don't know why it says Kalu Tefillos David Ben Yishai at the end of Ayin Gimel, I think it is.
The end of one of the books.
Yeah, at the end of the second one. Right. The third book is coming up soon.
I'm wondering,
right?
When they organized it into books. Maybe that was the last put in the book.
Yeah, very well could be.
But it was placed as Ayin Gimel.
Yeah, very well could be. It seems that they wanted to end all Tehillim with the Halukas, but I don't think there's a specific order in which it said, like, oh, there's that. Because we're going to see a bunch of them. The W's more chesed u'mishpat ashur. Look, I'm going to sing to you of chesed and judgment.
It makes sense. The
Klasham is a
because it's Lishlom, I mean, it's a prayer for Shlomo.
Yeah, the end of his life. The Klasham is a meira. I will sing and play music straight to a Kaddish Baruch. Obviously, David Melis is happy. His happiness stems from the fact that he got everything that he wanted in this world, more than he could possibly imagine that he was going to get. And this is David Melis saying, like, look, I do things that are a little bit different, and therefore I did do something that helps me deserve it. When the kings all got together and talked about their own praises and things like that, I worked on chesed and mishpah. That's what I did. They were building up the palaces and doing things like that. I worked in other things, trying to exonerate the innocent and deal with the guilty. I constantly wanted to be involved in all these different types of things over here. Okay, that's that. There's an interesting line over here. Rabbi Yovel once lost a very precious bracelet. So Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yossi, this tells you this must be in the Yerushalmi, because Rabbi Yonah doesn't appear more than once or twice in the Bible. Came to visit him and to console him for his loss, but out of awe before him, they didn't discourse on this. They didn't have any discussion on Torah. Maybe he'll say some words of Torah, he prompted. So they said, you should speak, Rabbi Yovel. You should do it. We know, he said the following. He said, we know that the powers below are corrupted by sheker and intrigue, favoritism, bribery, shokad. Today we are here and tomorrow we are going. And it says that after a person is condemned to death by the court and executed, his relatives come to inquire after the well-being of the judge and the witnesses. As if they're saying that what they do is, we have no hatred toward you. We understand that you administer true judgment. And that's so here down below, for sure it's up above where there's no falsehood, there's no insincerity, there's no bribery, anything like that. Kadosh Baruch Hu lives for all eternity. Therefore, any verdict that was decreed upon me is automatically the true Midah Sadin. And it's out there. So it's interesting. I never knew this Midah. Somebody passes away, and you go to the judge, not passed away, I should say. Somebody is killed by the Beis Din. And the relatives go to the Beis Din afterward and said, are you okay? Is everything okay? By you. Interesting. There is no Shiva by a sort, right? Anybody who's killed by the Sanhedrin. Maybe that you would go immediately afterward. Yeah, it's Gemara Sanhedrin. So maybe you go immediately afterward. There's no Shiva. There's no Aninus, anything like that, because Beis Din is in charge at this point. Interesting that was the minute to go to the Beis Din and say, you guys all, we just want to make sure you're okay. Askila Bedarasamin, I have become enlightened while walking in the way of perfection. When will it all come to me? I've gone in the perfection of my heart, the Karabasi. Within my house, I've acted in the right way. So, Davidel said, I've walked on this straight path, the path that I'm supposed to go on. Thank God it's going to be there. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai blessed his kids, his Talmidim, and said to them that you should always do what's right in the eyes of man. They said, Rabbi, we should do what's right in the eyes of God. He said, no. People sin and they say, I hope nobody saw me. Right? And that's the way people are. So the reality is, you should walk that way in the proper fashion, everything like that. So, Talmidim is an interesting line because that's the line used by Avraham. In this week's Parsha, in order to emulate his deeds, David Melech always constantly strove to try to be Talmidim, to be in such a way. That's an interesting line when it goes into such a thing. So that's the idea of you should be Talmidim, the Sum Levavi, when it comes to stuff like that. Okay. That's that. Another thing within Talmidim is that a person has to be strong and valiant to accept everything that happens to him, that this is the best way of what's supposed to be. And that even though I don't fully understand it, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs from me at this time. That's the way we should look at it. I have not put anything wicked in front of my eyes. Aso Satan, son AC. Anybody who does wayward things, I hate. Same word that we had before. Lo Yidbakbi, I don't want them to stick to me. I don't want them to come anywhere near me. I won't let anything wicked come anywhere near me in that way. Team also, by the way, I don't know if that's a reference to the Satan. It obviously is the same Yamatria. But it's bad things. Lev of Ikesh, a perverse heart. Yasumimani, please remove from me. Raw, Loida. I don't want to even know what evil is. Don't let me go through. But the boys were talking today. They were talking about MMA, MMA fighters and stuff like that. I told them I've never seen an MMA fight, and I actually have never seen like the results of an MMA fight. I told them I'm sickened by it. Now, I don't get queasy when I see blood, not like that. But to see a person literally get their head smashed in, right? I can't deal with that. I can't deal with that. They asked me what I do when I watch horror movies. I told them it's been a while. I tell you, I don't know. I don't know what I would feel in something like that. But it really is like I don't want to even know of an evil thing. When on YouTube, a bunch of people were watching the how it was not too long ago, the deaths of somebody. It was the death of by ISIS. You know, when they were executing somebody and stuff like that. And they couldn't watch.
But isn't that important?
Nobody wants to see that.
And also, isn't there a permission to watch that?
I don't know.
To watch the,
you know, I never asked. That makes sense to
the
word.
The Gemara talks about not looking at the pain of something else, but you can't do anything about it.
So I'm saying, you have to get a Kriya. You're not there. I don't know. I could not watch it. I couldn't watch somebody being tortured. I just can't do it. Especially if it's real life. Something that's fake and I know it's fake, maybe I would be able to handle it. But real life, a box boxing I could never handle. I couldn't handle MMA. But I'm not queasy. I can sit in a hospital. I can see blood spurt out. I have no issues with that.
Remember there was a video a few months ago where a police officer shot a guy in a car and his girlfriend or his wife was sitting there
right, filming it the whole time.
I couldn't get through the video.
Right. I remember that video was out there. All these videos I can't deal. I cannot deal with it. It's something that I can't deal with when it comes to that. If I know something's happening, it was not long ago. It was the cop. Yeah, sure. There was a cop who had one of the cameras on where he shot up a car, the black guy, not knowing there was a kid in the back. And he shot through the car, killed the kid, right, nailed the guy in the arm. And then he said, like, oh my gosh, like, he realized what he had just done, right? He had acted with excessive force, killing a kid. He was, unfortunately, this guy was convicted of manslaughter and thrown in jail. But that was a video that came out not too long ago as well. So I don't want to know this evil. I don't want to do that. You know, Remendel Kaplan used to be a Rebbe in this yeshiva when he first saw boxing on TV, right? Oh, no, it wasn't boxing. It was like cowboys and Indians, you know, with like little ketchup, you know, stuff like that, like an ad, yeah. But back in the 50s or whatever, you know, black and white TV, whatever, you know, you can barely see it. He threw up. Someone else's house. He threw up. How can you watch this?
It was just like the Indians with the arrows and the cows with the guns.
Yeah. It was like one of those. In the Washington State Array, somebody tells over secrets of his friend, Oswald Smith, I want to cut that guy down. Somebody who acts with gaiva and wide of the heart and a proud heart. Osulucha, I can't deal with such a guy. It says in Kadosh Baruch Hu, I don't want to deal with this. Lots of Gemaras that deal with this about how pride destroys a person's character and ego, etc. That's what it refers to over here. Over here, it's leivav. Not leiv, but leivav. It's as if a person has two hearts, right, going from one thing to the other. Einai benemnei aretz, my eyes are upon the faithful of the land, those who trust in the land. Lashaviti madi, they may dwell within me. Holik v'darasimim, they walk in the ways of innocence, in the ways of integrity. Who you short saying, that person should serve me. A guy who wants to be tamim. That's what Kadosh Baruch Hu says. That's the guy who I want to be the person who's perfectly with me. A guy who's wholehearted. Again, this all stems from Yaakov, you know, being an ish tam. That's the idea behind it. Lo yeshiv b'karav beis, he shouldn't sit in the midst of my house. Osiramiya, the following person, somebody who does trickery, dover shkarm, a person who speaks out lies, well, you can let agadei die. That should not be established in front of my eyes. I don't want to have a person that's going to be like that. And ish tam. That's what I want. I don't want anybody that's going to be a little bit different in Esau's character in front of me. By morning I will cut off Kol Rishar, all the evil of the land. All those who do evil, I want to cut them off from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the city of HaKadosh Baruch Hu itself. They openly perpetuate the evils of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those are called the wicked of the land itself and the bad people. Those are the ones that I want to be taken away so that we don't have to deal with them anymore. Okay, we'll stop with that, guys. We're up to...